You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to day two of the Cheltenham Festival. Plenty more to look forward to at Prestbury Park on Wednesday. You'll hear all of the action on William Hill Racing Radio. Tune in from 1 hour before the first race for extended build-up. And all of the action then will follow throughout the afternoon. My name is Mark Walton. Joining me in the studio to have a look ahead to day two is Mr. Ross Briley. How are you, Ross?
Very well, thanks, Mark. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. Before we get stuck into day two, we'll have a quick look back at day one as well. Firstly, Ross, have you enjoyed the first instalment of the Cheltenham Festival?
No, it's been it's been horrible from start to finish. Yes, of course I have. Yes, it's impossible not to, isn't it? Yeah, it's been an absolute joy.
Good.
I mean, the sky was blue, Mark. The spring is in the air. People are, you know, full of anticipation and opinions and. It's a great time to be alive this week.
Yes, the spring is in the air.
The spring, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
There's just one spring in the air. I don't know where it's come from. I assume out of a dodgy sofa.
Yeah. We've seen some Spring Heel performers on Monday, of course.
We have indeed.
See,
look at that.
See that segue?
Beautiful.
We'll start with the feature race on day one, the first championship race of the week, the Champion Hurdle. 1-2 for Nicky Henderson, for JP McManus. Bouvardaire, the winner. My turn to yours in second. Nicky Henderson as well, isn't it? Yeah, I was trying to correct myself for something that wasn't incorrect. Petit Mouchoir finishing third there. Great performance from Bouvardaire, who travelled brilliantly through the race to pick off Petit Mouchoir, who got a lot of the donkey work and still did well to finish third. And good old My Tent coming into the places again. It's the third time he's finished second in the Champion Hurdle. What did you make of the result?
We were just saying that Bouvardaire, he was well beaten by Altior last season in the Supreme Novices Hurdle. And obviously because of that, well, after that, they said, well, let's go chase him. But clearly, due to the performances of Altior, they've gone, you know, this is not going to go well at all for Bouvardaire.
Yeah.
And what seemed to begin with almost a sacrifice, as it were. I'm sorry, there's a better one in the yard. Clearly a monster in the yard, yeah. Altior, even though he wasn't that impressive in the yard, which we'll get to in a second. But Bouvardaire won very cosily indeed. He was the freshest horse in the race. He was the one we'd seen the least of in terms of this test. So I guess in that respect, you never quite knew what he had in his locker. Whereas the other ones, you pretty much knew what you were getting. So in that respect, it's nice to see. I'm more of a flat man than a jumps man,
yeah.
And that's because you do get improvers and surprise performances, and wow, that was really impressive. A lot of the time in the jump sphere, it doesn't happen as much. You just get confirmation of form a lot of the time. That's what the good thing about Bouvardaire was. It was like, wow, okay, this is a serious tool.
Mm.
And it's also boost form lines left, right and centre elsewhere as well. So, yeah, very impressive. My Tent or Yours, obviously a very good yardstick as well.
That's what I like about the jumps game rather than the fly. He's come back and he's run a blinder again.
True, yeah. But if he'd have won it, yeah, he'd have been a bit disappointed, I suppose, to an extent.
Yeah, you'd say it probably wasn't the best Champion Hurdle if he were to come back and win it, I suppose.
Yeah. And Petit Mouchoir, he didn't quite get the easy time of it up front. The new one just niggling away for a while. And he kicked on a long way from home, but ran an absolute corker. But that form, again, from Aintree, being franked with those two. So the result looks rock solid. The only disappointment was the run of Yamworth, who at no point looked comfortable. He did get taken out of his comfort zone, didn't jump particularly well, and was obviously a massive disappointment. But Bouvardaire, a worthy champion.
Bouvardaire, the Champion Hurdler of 2017 then. We mentioned in passing there Altior, who he said is a, what was the phrase, beast or freak?
Well, pick he's a monster.
Monster,
yeah.
Yeah, well, he wasn't quite monstrous in his victory in the Arkle, But still, he's won it by six lengths and never really looked in trouble. He's a very, very good novice chaser.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. He won it. He won a Grade One novice chase at the Cheltenham Festival on an off day. So fair play to him, I suppose. I think he would have definitely won regardless of what happened with Charbel. And he actually, I realised that Cloudy June will have accepted defeat, but he was going away at the line and he was putting more daylight between him and his rivals. And it might well be that he just needs a bit more of a test than he got. Because remember, they didn't go that much of a pace either, and they haven't in his little novice chases as well. He's been able to show off his jump in there. But when he looked truly impressive, his best performance by a mile was obviously the Supreme win last year, where he got a chance to explode up the hill. And he's never had a chance to do that. So, I find it hard to crab him, even though he wasn't as visually as impressive as people were hoping for.
And if that is the case, imagine if he does get a strongly run race over fences at Cheltenham maybe next year or something, and he can explode up the hill once again. That's a terrifying prospect of how good he really could be.
So. Well, obviously, we just want to see him face Duvan at some point, don't
we? Yeah, that would be the big head-to-head, wouldn't it? Yeah.
And of course, and the one that is kind of lurking around this is Min, who obviously isn't seen at the festival, but split Altior and Bouvardaire. And we won't see this at Cheltenham. He's the lurker in the mix as well. So it's all good stuff.
Yeah, from last year's Supreme. This year's Supreme, we had a pretty big shock in the opener. LeBaic winning at 25-1, beating Mellon, the Willie Mullins talking horse, if you like, and River Wild was back in third. LeBaic, it was debatable whether he'd even set off or not, let alone win the Supreme. So I was flabbergasted by the result, if I'm honest.
Well, he sent off 25-1. He sent off double the odds that his ability allows, because you're getting that built-in Willie, won't he? And to be fair, given the fact that he's refused to race on pretty much on three of his last few starts, I mean, since joining Gordon Elliott, he's either refused to race or bolted up. I mean, you say some horses are all or nothing. LeBaic is taking that to the nth degree. But he put in a really good performance when he won at Navan and beat Mick Jazz, who threw a line for a couple of others. It was very good form, but you just couldn't have backed him, could you? Just cannot back him. Or at least you are. You know you're taking a chance. The moment he jumps off, he halves in price. But if you take him out, you've got Mellon beating Riverwild and Ballyandy. You've got the two joint favourites and the fourth favourite all in the mix as well.
Yeah.
So it's not as if it's like, wow, that's a surprise result. He's beat the right horses. It's just whether Gordon Elliott can keep him sweet. I mean, the one to really take out of it is probably Mellon, who has only seen the race course once for Willie Mullins and has just found himself on the wrong end of a freak result in a way, or at least a freak performance by LeBaic. So I think the form will stand up. I think people will try and crab it, but to me it looks rock solid. Ballyandy in fourth. Didn't get the ideal ride or run through.
No.
But he's the yardstick. So the form looks solid.
At the time of recording this, the only other result we could talk about is the Ultima Handicap Chase, wide open. Anton Partou has done very well to win that off top weight, really. It's a big performance.
Yes, it is. To come back and win it again, he beat a very well-handicapped horse in single farm payment. The two interesting things about the Ultima. One, the first four all had rock-solid Cheltenham form in hot festival races.
Yeah.
Or at least hot handicaps in single farm payment, of course, has been running all winter, almost in prep for this, to get him bulletproof.
Yeah.
The fifth, Go Conquer, hadn't. Never been to the track, led most of the way, was up there over the final fence. I thought that was an absolute storming run. And if he goes to Aintree, I think he's very much a horse to keep an eye on. So, he's the one horse that's actually gone in my horse track out of the day one at Cheltenham. So Conquer in a handicap at some point.
Very good. That's day one then. Let's get stuck into day two. Plenty more coming up on Wednesday at the Cheltenham Festival. We'll move on to that in just a moment.
Don't miss William Hill's Happy Hour on mobile, in-shop or online every day of Cheltenham. There will be four great offers each day of the festival between 12 noon and 1 p.m. There are numbers 13, 14, 15 and 16 on the festival great offers coupon in this shop. Or you can just click on the Happy Hour banner when you go online or on mobile.
Yeah, Happy Hour will be back on day two of the festival, 12 until 1 p.m. Check out the enhancements every 15 minutes there, four of them in the hour, of course. And you can find that at williamhill.com on the horse racing page. It's a banner right in front of you, and the same on the app. If you go to William Hill, if you go to the William Hill app, it's a banner at the top there. You can't miss it. So do check those out on Wednesday. Let's get talking about the races there. We're going to start, obviously, with the first race on day two, which is the Neptune Investment Management Novices Hurdle. We'll start with the thoughts of Jim McGrath, and then we'll get some thoughts off you, Ross.
The Neptune Novices Hurdle at 1:30 is our curtain raiser on day two of the festival. As ever, there are numerous promising horses in the lineup. Ireland's chief representative is arguably Bacardi's, trained by Willie Mullins, who last time out won a strong-looking Grade 1 at Leopardstown. But I was there that day, and although he won, he didn't get up till close home, and he didn't jump that fluently either. Additionally, he's already had a fall in his career, so his jumping is a worry. Neon Wolf looks the pick of the home runners. He's been impressive in all three career starts to date, and last time out absolutely slammed his field at Haydock. He gets the nod to keep the prize at home.
Neon Wolf, the selection for Jim then. In the Neptune 7-4 market leader, you'd say he's got a decent chance of landing the higher five as well. In his three career starts, he's won two of them by more than five lengths, and higher five applies to the first race every day at the Cheltenham Festival. You back the winner, you get a 25% win bonus if it wins by five or more lengths, and if that's the case, you get your money back if you backed any of the losers in the field as well. Ross, you have an opinion in the Neptune there?
Well, I think and hope that Neon Wolf murders them, quite frankly. Tears them to pieces. Because I think he could be a proper tool, I think, in time. He's done absolutely nothing wrong. Everything that's been put in front of him, he's smashed out of the park. I was really impressed with the way he went through the ground at Haydock. Really bad ground, and he travelled like an absolute cut above. And Bacardi's form has been let down. Beside Oboe is a good horse, but nothing to get overly excited about. I think Willoughby Court will set the race up, and I think Neon Wolf looks an absolute cut above.
Fair enough. Neon Wolf then in the Neptune. Moving on to the second race, the 2:10, which is the RSA Novices Chase. The market headed by Mike Bite at the time of recording this at 5-2. 9-2 Alpha Days Oboe. 5-1 Acabella Bourgeois. Or Bourgeois. Whisper is 7-1. 8-1 Bells Hill. 10-1 Royal Vacation. 007. 16-1 with Alcamfor. And 20-1 Bar Those. Everybody kind of latched on to Mike Bite after the Kempton performance, where he would have won by half the track. Had a run since then where he's come back and boosted his confidence. But is he too short at 5-2 at the top of the market?
I'm going to tip against him, put it that way. Yeah. But, I mean, I think he's an absolute monster again. I think he's a cracking horse. I really fancied him at Kempton and was, quite frankly, devastated when he came down. However, it's more important that I'm just not entirely sure whether Cheltenham is his track. I've actually backed him for the King George this year at 33-1.
Not a bad shout. I love Kempton.
I think that's the perfect race for him in the grand scheme of things. I think he's the best horse in the race, and if everything goes to plan, he should win. But this is the RSA Chase, which is less a heavyweight boxing match and more a bare knuckle bar fight at 2 a.m. So I want horses who are so drunk they haven't got a pain barrier. And Alpha Des Oboe is that kind of horse. It's just been wildly exposed in terms of this, but we know he's good enough to get involved in this. Obviously, he ran an absolute cracker behind Thistle Crack at the festival last season. Since then, he's raced six times. He was pulled up last time we saw him, but Maurice Morris's horses are in really good form. He had a couple of winners the other day, and he's had a couple of horses run very good races in valuable events at Nace. So he looks all over an RSA performer. I think Acapella Bourgeois will set the race up for him. And I'd be disappointed if he can't if he can't at the very least hit the frame.
Alpha Des Oboe, the selection for Ross there then in the RSA Novices Chase. Third race we look at is the third race on the card, the Coral Cup. It's a handicap. I've suddenly forgotten how to talk.
Oh God!
It's a handicap hurdle over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. One of the biggest fields of the week, 26 of them in the lineup for the Coral Cup. Tombstone, the 9-2 favourites. 9-1 Automated. Peregrine Run is 9-1 with Tin Soldier, 12-1 Modus, 16-14 for Hargam. Squamir is 14-1, not sure how you say it, 16-1 Super Sunday, 22-1 Old Guard with Mr. Miyagi and Takanda Soy and River Frost. Shore Reef also at 20s and 25s Bar Those. One of the Trickiest races of the week you've got the pleasure of previewing here, Ross?
Yeah, and obviously the Irish Raiders, like the Tombstone and Automated, look very interesting indeed. Tin Soldier did really well to battle on and get back up last time out as well. But I was a little bit interested in Tak and Desoy, who I thought ran a really nice race back over hurdles at Chepstow back in October behind Bally Optic, who's going to be in with a squeak of hitting the frame in the Stayers hurdle this week. Since then, he won a valuable handicap at Cheltenham back in November, and he's just run two, I thought, quite nice races at Leppisan and Ascot in Grade Ones. He comes here in, over hurdles, nearly a stone below his chase mark. I don't know. I think he looks primed to run a big one personally, off a mark of 148. You could argue that he's not as good a hurdler as he is a chaser, but that Chepstow run was just a little bit of an eye catcher, I think. So, yeah, I'd be interested in Tak and Desoy at a big price.
Tak and Desoy then for Ross in the Coral Cup. We're not ignoring the Champion Chase. We'll come on to that right at the end, the feature race on day two, of course. But just get your thoughts on the Fred Winter first, Ross, before we hear from Sir Anthony McCoy and Jim McGrath on the feature.
Yeah, there's one form line that interests me, and that's when Prospectus and Dakota Moirette have met. They've come together twice at Fairy House. Prospectus has come out on top on both those occasions. Dakota Moirette has travelled like an absolute dream throughout those and then got chinned bang on the line by Prospectus. I don't want to split them. I'm just going to back them both. I think that form's really good and underrated. So at 14, I think they're about 14s and 20s respectively. Prospectus and Dakota Moirette.
Yeah, 14s Prospectus, 20-1 Dakota Moirette. Thank you very much, Ross. Good luck. Final question that I'll ask you on this piece. Is Duvan invincible in the Queen Mother Champion Chase?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
There's God's Own might run for a place, but yeah, you'd be very surprised if anything had the gears to go with him.
Mm. I'd be very surprised if Jim or Sir Anthony McCoy went against him as well. Let's find out what they go for, starting with Jim McGrath.
The Queen Mother Champion Chase at 3:30 looks Duvan's to lose. Unbeaten in 9 steeplechases, he sets a very high standard, and short price or not, is impossible to oppose. His rivals are actually largely mainly in form, so sorting out who's going to finish second doesn't look straightforward either. But generally, God's Own is a horse who's at his best in the spring, and second and fourth at the last two festivals, he gets the nod to chase Duvan home.
Duvan to win then, in Jim's opinion. God's Own to chase home the very short price favourites. What are the thoughts of Sir Anthony McCoy? Well, we can find out now because he joined Andrew Thornton early in the day.
The 2 mile champion chase, I think for me, it's a formality here. Duvan all the way. AP?
Yeah, he's not very many holes you can pick in Duvan. He's jumped very well. Look, he's a different class to what he's running against here. You're probably trying to find Tom that's going to finish second to him. Tom George has got a couple of runners. I actually like the less fancied of his two, Sir Valentino. He was second to Special Tiara at Kempton at Christmas. He wasn't beaten that far. He made a mistake at the second last, but you know, only because he's a better price than what God's Own is. There's not much between the two of them. I'll go for Sir Valentino to finish second to Duvan, but I think Duvan will win as far as he likes.
Interesting. Duvan to win as far as he likes, then, in Sir Anthony McCoy's opinion. But he goes for the other Tom George runner in the lineup, Sir Valentino, to follow Duvan home, in Sir Anthony McCoy's opinion. And Jim going for God's Own to follow Duvan home. Andrew Thornton and Ross Briley also can't see past Duvan. I'm not sure many people can here. Is 2-7 in the market, Duvan. Fox Norton 8-1, 14-1 God's Own, 20-1 Special Tiara and Top Gamble, 33-1 for Garde La Victoire and Traffic Fluid. Sir Valentino is 40-1, 50 is Simply Ned, and Sizing Granite is the 66-1 outsider of the field. The feature race on the Wednesday, the Queen Mother Champion Chase at 3:30, looks at the mercy of Duvan. You'll be able to hear that and the rest of the day's action at the Cheltenham Festival, plus the rest of the day's racing alongside that as well. We'll be on Racing Radio from 12:10 p.m. for an hour of build-up with Sam Norris, with guests joining him along the way as well. And then we'll be live on William Hill Racing Radio for all of the action throughout the afternoon, with myself in the studio with Craig Forsyth and Kevin O'Malley. So we've got all that to look forward to on the Wednesday. Do tune in and join us. Get in touch with us as well. Studio at williamhill.co.uk if you want to email into the show. At Will Hill Racing if you would like to tweet us. If you want to get in touch for your odds as well, it's at William Hill, hashtag your odds. You can ask the William Hill traders to price you up some bets for the Cheltenham Festival as well. And don't forget, happy hour starts at midday through until 1 p.m. Really looking forward to the second day of the Cheltenham Festival. Good luck if you're having a bet, and join us on Wednesday.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.